You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest, which happens to be us today, will be talking about why we use private money.
That's right, Charles. Our guest will also be talking about how to find private money and some of our stories from when we have used private money. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Man, I am always excited for us to come on the show. It's just another time for us to just hang out, talk, catch up. And what I love about what we do is we get to share, you know, our knowledge and the knowledge of all the people we bring on this podcast to help our guests get through whatever they're going through. So I'm just so glad to be doing this with you, brother.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And I'm always excited to hop on. And what people don't know is usually we get on this thing and we'll talk for 30 or 40 minutes before we even hit record. And sometimes we get done and we're like, oh man, we should have recorded that and put that out. That would have been an awesome episode. But maybe we should do that sometime and just kind of it'll be like a campfire type episode, very like hitting all kinds of stuff and nothing very specific. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think we're going to be talking about, yeah, we should do that sometime. That'd be fun. But today we're going to be talking about private money and how to use it and why to use it and some of our stories on using it and how it worked, maybe how we structured some deals and then maybe even how we found it. So yeah, really looking forward to diving into this one.
Man, me too, man. Like I just know like when I got started investing, I knew that I ran out of money and we made a whole episode on some of the things you can do when you run out of money. But in this episode, we're really going to dive into private money, as William mentioned, because this is something that has helped both of us grow our business tremendously. And so, you know, real quick, if you didn't hear the other episode, you know, I was at a point where I purchased my first two properties using my cash, right? And you know, I was out of money after that. And so I had to come and find a different way to raise funds to purchase my deals or sit on the sidelines and keep building up enough money to put in another down payment. And so I found out about this thing called private money. It was kind of weird at first. I was like, private money? What is that? You know what I mean? Like, you know, why is it private? Why is it not public money? Right. And so I learned more about it and I learned that it's simply going to an individual, right? Or, you know, sometimes it might be like a group of people versus going to like, say, a mortgage broker or a bank, right? It's just going directly to the source, right? Going to that individual and structuring a win-win situation with them in order to utilize their funds for you to purchase a deal or do a rehab or whatever the case may be, right? I don't like to say borrow money, William. You hear me say all the time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like saying to borrow money from them is so focused on just you. I like to say structure a win-win situation or, you know, offer them incredible interest. I'd much rather make it about them, which is another tip we'll talk about some more when you're getting this private money. But yeah, so I was able to, versus like sitting on the sidelines, I was able to use this private money to buy millions of dollars in worth of properties just by using private money.
And I agree. Charles, in your experiences, I'm always curious to hear what people think or this is, but what have you found to be the one thing that most of your private money lenders, when you first start with them, what is the one thing that they're really looking for to invest money with you?
Dude, yeah, that's a great question, man. So every private money lenders is different. That's what I've found. And so here are some of the major things, right? So number one, a lot of times, you know, they're looking, will this deal make money? Will this deal make money? They will look at the deal as if, you know, they're going to buy the deal. Yeah. So they look at the numbers. That's something that's very important, right? But the other thing I realized, William, is, and this is what I found with most of the private money lenders that I work with, they look at you as an investor, right? So do I like you, William, right? So there's this thing, you know, there's trust and then there's like, right? But they want to know, do I like you? Do I want to do business with William? Do I want to do business with Charles? That's a huge factor that a lot of people don't realize. Some people think it's just about the numbers, but it's not just about the numbers. They want somebody put like this, you know like, trust, right? All three of them, I would argue, is important. Some people will argue one over the other because first they have to know you in order to do business with you. They have to like you for you to stand out because there's going to be many people coming to them. But if they like you, they may work with you just because they know you and they like you. And then they have to trust you, right?
Agreed.
If somebody come to you, William, you like them so much, but you just don't trust them. Well, that's a problem. You know, even though this person may be funny, you know, they know how to have a good time, but you're like, I don't trust this guy. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think this guy has good intentions, but I don't, whatever the trust may be, it may not be because you're a bad person. They may just not trust you to find a good deal.
No, I agree. Right? And it's kind of, I think about it like, no, like trust. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like my dad uses this analogy. It's a three-legged stool, right? Well, it's pretty hard for a stool to stand on two legs. You need at least three.
Yeah.
So you need those. You need know, like, and trust for that stool to be stable, for it to be a step stool for you, basically. The other way I always
come. I love that analogy, William. That's so good. Your dad is so wise.
I've used that so many times, and I don't even know that he knows that I've used it that many times, but I use it quite a bit.
Well, you're a son, so you could kind of.
Yeah.
You could
disclaimer, hijack that one. But
thank you, Dad.
The other way that I think about that is if I want to do business with somebody, would I give them my credit card to go buy something at the store, like an unlimited credit card? If I don't trust you to do that, I'm probably not going to do business with you, to start with. So that's just like precursor. That it's nothing I would like. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own little qualification, but that's kind of mine. So,
okay. Well, I guess I trust you, William, because remember RubeCon, I gave you my credit card to buy my sandwich.
That's true. I totally forgot all about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a big limit credit card, too, man.
Yeah. But yeah, trust is so important when you're looking at private money, and building that relationship with that individual is absolutely paramount. But let me ask you this, Charles, like how many deals have you done with like your main private money guy, or like multiple, like one, three?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, dude. Yeah. So what I found is that I have access to lots of private money lenders, and that's because I put in the work. Mm-hmm. It is not because of luck. When people tell me you are so lucky because you get private money, like, look, bro, it ain't luck. It ain't luck at all. You know, I put in the work. I build relationships. Like I build relationship with people knowing that I may never receive anything from them in return. And some people I spend hours with, hours. And so I build relationships. But to answer your question, what I did find is that I do have private money lenders that I prefer to use more than the others, mm-hmm. right? I have two of them that I like to use a lot in particular, and it works out great. Now, one of them is very expensive, but I know that he will show up to the closing table every time. If he says yes, he will show up to the closing table and he will fund 100% of the purchase, 100% of the repairs, and 100% of the closing costs.
Oh man, that's a gold mine right there.
So yeah, so even though he's expensive, you know, I can work with him, right?
Yeah.
Now I will say, you know, he knows, like, and trust me, but he also looks at a deal. All of those numbers has to be within 70% of the ARV. That's probably one property, maybe two, where it was slightly off, you know, and maybe he didn't fund the full thing, you know, on it. Maybe I think I had to come up with 5,000, whatever it was. It was a small amount. But, you know, he will fund it like that. Even though he might be expensive on his, you know, in order to borrow the loan, right? And we can talk about some more of that here in just a minute. And then the other guy, he is somebody I know from college and who is doing very well for himself. And he invests in so many different projects. So sometimes he may not be able to fund every deal, but if he says he's going to fund it, he's going to fund it. And so I try to use his funds more just because it's less expensive, but I don't mind using either one of them just because they're really, really good. I do have some people who I have like a list. I have a private money list. And so when I have a deal, I'll send it out. Sometimes I don't send it out. Like if these two, I go to these two guys first, and then if they are on the fence or if I just want to have a backup, I'll send it out to my private money list. And so yeah, you'll find that when you do business, there's going to be some people you want to work with, you know, do repeat business with. They know, like, trust you, you know, like, trust them, and then you want to work together as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree 100%. And like, everybody wants the home run right at the beginning of the game, right? Well, sometimes you got to settle with a bunt or something like that. You just got to get to first base, and then home runs will come. The more practice you have, the home runs will come. So I think a lot of people get caught up and stuck in just trying to have that home run right off the bat. And so they get stuck not doing a deal because it's not the best terms they could get. Well, yeah, it may not be the best terms you could get, but while you're waiting, and I'm not advocating for doing a bad deal or going into a relationship or using private money that may not be a good fit for that deal just because you want to get a deal done. That's not, I'm not advocating for that, but sometimes you need to go with, you got to start building that relationship first.
100%. William, I agree with you. Like how, you know, it's not always about the home run. It's all about, you know, what is your best option for this particular deal? And does it make sense? Right. So I told you, you know, these lenders, most of them, they'll do within 70% of the ARV. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and typically a deal, if you're buying it for 70 cents on the dollar, right, most of the time it's going to be a good deal. You know what I mean? Most of the time, unless you're in a situation where the rents are super low. But here's this other thing. So back to, you know, is it the best option for you? So I always remember this story, right? I was on the airplane this one time, and the airplane, I think I was coming back from Europe. Like this was like right after college. I remember, you know, going to Europe. The plane had to land in another city. I believe it was Greensboro. I was on my way back to Charlotte and had to land there before going to Charlotte, right? It was something, I think, with the weather or some mechanical issue. I can't remember the exact thing. But anyway, so we were all sitting on the plane figuring out, okay, what are we going to do? And, you know, some people, they were all panicking. They wanted to get off the plane. They just didn't know what to do. And so I heard this guy in the front of me, he was talking to this lady he didn't know. And they're trying to figure out, okay, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to wait. He said, I had a boss who was a billionaire one time. And he said, never make a decision until you know all your options, right? And whatever the best option is of those options, you make your decision, right?
And once form decisions,
Yeah, that's exactly right. And she said, so I'm going to wait until I know the options, and then I'll make my decision. I was like, wow. I was like, I probably was one of those who was maybe panicking and wanted to come off the airplane too. so I wanted to know my options. And so anyway, long story short, I like that. And I've used that. So literally this guy who didn't know me, I still hadn't spoken to him. Maybe we smiled back at each other coming off the plane or whatever, but never spoke to him. And that piece of wisdom, I took it with me, and I've used that in so many options, right? I've used that in so many situations in my life. And so whenever I have a deal, and we tell the students this at the same time, when we coach students at Master Passive Income, we do the same thing. We ask them when they ask us, should I do this? Should I buy this property? Should I use this lender? Whatever. We ask them, what are your options? Right? When they're trying to know, should I use private money? Should I use my cash? Should I use a conventional loan? Well, what are your options? You look at the options you have and you make a decision based off of those options. And again, if it makes sense, right? Because if you have three bad options, maybe you want to wait a little bit longer, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that, William?
Yeah. No, I think that's really wise. You don't want to make uninformed decisions. And I definitely find that a lot of times having those informed decisions is just knowing who to talk to and who to get mm-hmm. advice from. And I mean, we harp on it all the time. Real estate really is a lot of relationship building. Good story about having different options and different perspectives on certain things. So I had using private money, actually, this is a great one. So my private money lender, I remember I was bringing a second deal to him and another investor was selling me this property and the numbers worked well. The rent was going to work well. It needed some rehab and he knew that. And so he was selling it to me at a reduced price because he wanted to liquidate and get into something bigger. And he's like, well, I don't mind selling this area because I don't like my PM that's managing this quite as much. So I wanted, but I had a good PM in that area that was willing to manage it. And so I went to go buy it and then realized, was like, look, I have to bring too much money to the table. And anyone who's done real estate and you're starting out, you realize that one month you'll have like $3,000 in the bank. And then the next month you'll have 60 and then you'll have $3,000 again. I mean, it fluctuates. It's a crazy fluctuation. And it was at that time when it was just kind of low in the bank account. I was like, I have to pull too much out of my bank account with my other properties. I wasn't comfortable with it. And I said, look, I'm just not comfortable with that. My other real estate investor that was selling it to me needed to sell at a specific timeline because he needed to get in another deal. And so I went to my private money and I said, hey, I've got this deal. And I was like, well, I don't want to bring anything to the table. And he said, well, great. I will use your mobile home park as collateral because he had actually helped me purchase that. And so he knew the property. And he's like, I will use that as collateral. So that way I will fund 100% of the purchase. You have to figure out rehab costs. And I had X amount for rehab, but I was going to need another $10,000 additional just to like have some cushion and be comfortable with the deal. Mm-hmm. But I was being pinched a little too tight. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go to the seller who is another real estate investor again. And I went to him and said, hey, man, I think I'm going to have to pass on this. I really appreciate you thinking of me, but it's just a little bit too tight for me right now. And him being another investor was like, well, how much do you need to be comfortable? And I was like, well, 10 grand. He's like, okay, well, I'm not going to sell it to you less. What I'll do is I'll give you a $10,000 personal line of credit. Mm-hmm. And you can have it for 6 months and it'll be open for negotiation if you need it longer than that. And I was like, well, that would be great because then we can purchase, we can move right along. We'll have the lawyers draw up the whole thing. So all in all, I went in and I ended up buying that deal with zero money down. I actually got a check at closing. Awesome. I think it was like, I had an extra $3,400, which mm-hmm. I used for rehab costs to bring my rehab costs down. And because he gave me that personal line of credit, pretty cheap and like really cheap in all reality. Because he's like, well, I can afford to do that, but I need the sale price to be up. So mm-hmm. that was about that, like that three-legged stool we were talking about, that like trust,
no like trust,
and mm-hmm. just going with that. And so I had built that relationship with both of these individuals and they had never met each other. They ended up meeting each other actually because of that deal. So mm-hmm. they've actually started building relationships with each other, which is fantastic because they'll help each other do deals and so on and so forth, which is great. But that relationship I worked hard to establish that. But it's also not just about, again, I don't want to harp on it too much, but it's not all about making money. Like the deal needs to make money, but I know what these guys are wanting to do and where they're wanting to go. And we lay our cards out on the table. Like my private money guy, that's what he does. Yep. He likes to lend money. He doesn't want to do the work, but he's so smart. He actually has taken my deals and turned them upside down and say, I like this property, but I don't like the way the private money is being structured. So let's change it. And he basically rearranges my deal and gives it back to me. He's like, I will give you my money this way and it will actually work better for you. And I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. And so
that's a blessing, man, to have someone like that willing. And man, really, and I know you have a good story behind that. And I think our listeners, like some people, they're listening and something and they're like, yeah, I'm already crushing it using private money. But some of them are like, man, I need to use private money. I need to use that to break through the next level because I have some properties right now, and I maybe I'm out of money, or maybe I just want to learn a new way to grow and get funding. So they may want to know how do you get started, and how do you even find these private money lenders? Let's start there. Go first, William. I love your story.
Yeah. So really,
how'd you find your first private money lender?
Oh, first private money lender.
Okay. The one in the dump yard. Tell that story, man.
So I was like Charles, ran out of money after the first couple of deals and didn't want to stop. Didn't want to stop that momentum. Once that train gets rolling, you just want to keep packing the coal and keep it moving. You don't want to slow it down. So I started asking around to friends of mine. It's like, hey, I'm looking for a private money lender, somebody you know that may have some money that wants to invest it. They don't need to be experienced in investing, and I'm willing to have a conversation with them to kind of explain how it goes. But I want to keep investing. I want to keep buying properties. And I had a couple of deals under my belt at the time. Actually, it might have only been one deal at the time under my belt, but I had used the Burr strategy and I'd been very successful with it. And the property was making money and it was out of state, so I'd never seen it. So, which really blew a lot of people's minds. I had never seen it, never been there, still to this day, never been there. And so that actually blows people's minds a lot, and they want to know how you did it. And actually, in a way, that solidifies you know what you're doing. Not necessary, but I found that it helped. So anyway, I started asking around and I had a friend of mine say, well, I know this guy, he does that, but it's like, I don't want to tell you who it is. What I'll do is I will tell him about you. And if he is okay with that and he says he'll talk to you, then I will share his contact information with you, which I think is very important. When you have your private money lenders, you don't tell everybody who your private money lenders are. You need to protect their anonymity. Because, you know, if somebody wins the lottery, right, all their family just swarms them and is like, you should give me money because we're family kind of thing. The same thing kind of can happen with private money. So if you know somebody that has a good deal and they come to you and say, hey, do you have a private money lender that would be willing to lend on this? You can say, I might, let me check into it for you. And then you can pass on that information if your private money is interested. So really, like, you want to protect them so that way they can make that decision and not get hounded, right? And then it's up to them to build that relationship. Well, he did that for me. We scheduled a date to go have coffee, and he just wanted to get to know me. And fortunately, he had known about my family, and I have 6 siblings, and we have we're fairly well known in the area. And we had coffee, and I just laid out running the Burr method and what I had done for that first deal. And it was a great conversation. We were there almost 2 hours. And he's an older gentleman, experienced, knows what he's doing. And I remember at the end of it, he said, so do you want to check for $250,000 now or later? And I remember being like, whoa, 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 slow down. How about I get a property first and then we talk about the property? And he's like, okay, we can do that. And I wonder if he actually asked me that to see what my reaction would be. But that relationship has been fantastic. And he's become like another mentor, actually, because I can call him and say, I've got this deal. What do you think? And he's like, well, if you run your numbers like this, or you take this into account. So it's been an incredible experience. He's not cheap. He knows what he's doing. He is far more expensive than any other private money lender I have, but his experience level and him being willing to work with me and really kind of teach.
So the cool thing about that too, is like, If you know that he will buy this deal, or if he will lend you for it, you know you're getting a good deal because of all the experience that he has.
Yeah.
So when he approves a deal for you, I bet you feel so much more confident buying it, right?
Oh, absolutely. And he brings lenders. Like, he's like, well, if you want to refi in 6 months, here you go. And so we've agreed to structure most of our stuff at 18 months. So it's an 18-month balloon. So we amortize it usually for 20 to 25, and then it's an 18-month balloon. So that gives me a good amount of time to do a refi. Like right now, it was easier to do a refinance at 6 months with a residential. Well, commercial is generally 12 anyway. And sometimes even with residential right now, they've changed it to more of 12, depending on your location, what kind of property it is, so on and so forth. So we stick with 18-month balloons. So that gives me a good time period to do things, but he's also very generous and doesn't have a prepayment penalty. But getting into finding them, that's a great way. Another way is people you go to church with, just letting your family know what you're doing. If you don't share what you're doing, you're going to have a hard time. You can make it easier on yourself if you tell people what you're doing. Like a great example, and I'm a very outgoing kind of guy. I love to hear what other people are doing. But I remember Dustin really likes this for some reason. He really likes this story. But I was in construction at the time, and I looked up, and I was at the landfill throwing stuff out of the back of a trailer, and I looked up, and there was a guy throwing stuff out of his trailer. Well, I'm in construction, so I was wearing boots and pants, a long sleeve shirt, and gloves. But this guy was wearing a t-shirt, had a mohawk, shorts, and Crocs. And he was throwing boards with nails out of the back and all this stuff out of his trailer. I was like, this guy does not do this all the time. What in the world is going on? So I just had this little voice in the back of my head, just ask him. So, and it's loud and it smells and all this other stuff. So I had to basically yell, hey man, what do you do for a living? And he looked up and he's like, well, I used to be a doctor, but I started making so much money doing real estate that I quit doing that. And I'm a full-time real estate investor. And I was like, great. How about you, me, and coffee? And he goes, fantastic, win. And so we went and had coffee. And it's literally can be as simple as that. And so I've started building that relationship with him. So people get stuck like trying to find it, but it's really not. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's not hard. It takes time.
It takes time. It's right in front of you. You're so true. And man, I love that story too, man. Dustin is our real estate mentor. He loves it too. And it's so amazing, William, that you have, you know, that we take different approaches, but it kind of like we kind of all lead back to that same thing on building relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, going back to like how I got started, you know, I have like a different, like William would tell you, I have a different approach to things, like, you know, is like a more structure, like what's the next step? Blah, blah.
Super, super detail, guys.
Yeah, that's how I am. But, you know, that's who I am. But yeah, but I am open to changing course if needed. Right. And so for me, like I went and got it. So I spoke to Dustin about it. I was going through his second round of coaching. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to learn more. I wanted to learn from Dustin. I wanted to learn and see other people do it too. So I signed up for a private money course. And so I did this course. And so, cause you know, anytime I'm like, you know, trying to do something new, I have like a formula, right? It's get educated, get around the right people, get coached, right? Those are kind of like my three formulas right there. That's my three steps in my formula. And so I did this whole course, you know, and I've literally followed all the steps that they did, that they taught in the course that helped me like talk and get so much experience. But really, like I got my first private money lender and my second one through relationships, right? So the first one, I was speaking to my title agent. I was letting him know that, you know, that I'm looking to use private money to buy some more deals. We were just talking casually, like, and it just slipped into the conversation because he started to notice that I'm buying more deals and everything. And I was like, yeah, I'm looking to buy more. I'm looking to use private money. He said, oh, I know several private money lenders. I was like, really? I say, and I say, I know you're allowed to give me that information. He said, I have some who are my friends, and they told me like, hey, if you see anyone who's a good prospect, you know, send them my way. And one of my first private money lenders was through my title agent, right?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Great. And it goes back to like what you said, telling people what you're doing. And then I want to share, you know, one of my other best private money lenders real quick is because this one was that friend who I was telling you from college. Well, he didn't lend me money to buy a deal until maybe 8 or 9 months after that. So I want to share that is because sometimes when you talk to someone, just because they don't fund that first deal that you're trying to do, you never know when they'll work with you. It could be 9 months later. It could be 2 years later. It could even be 5 years later. One of my friends who use private money lenders often for deals, he mentioned that one of his private money lenders had been following for 10 years and finally decided to help him raise capital for a deal. So you never know how these relationships can play out. So that is so important. If you only take one thing on how to build private money, how to use it to help you break through that next level, you want to build the right relationships.
100%.
Would you agree with that, William?
Oh, so, yeah.
William, anything else we missed? I know we're coming close to the end. Anything else we missed before we transition up?
I don't think it can be really emphasized enough. Like, if you just don't tell people what you're doing. Title agents are great. They see transactions all the time. They know who's coming in. They know who is potentially a lender. And if you share those things with those people, and real estate agents actually are a great source of information. Like, I have several here that I work with pretty routinely, and they know. Like, one of them actually, I had a deal that was going to be, it's not really, I kind of agree with Dustin where if you have a flip house, it's not really doing real estate because it's a job. It's in real estate, but I don't know that it's what I would consider doing real estate as an investor. If you're just buying it to flip it. Now, if you're buying it to rehab it and run a burr on it and then rent it out and keep it, that's a different story. But this deal was very interesting. And I went to look at this house with her and I said, hey, this is what I'm kind of thinking strategy wise. And she's like, well, if that works out and you get it for this price, I'll go in with you on it. Like, I'll fund X amount for that. So you never really know. So be open to a lot of stuff, even like people that you see all the time. If you're a contractor and you go in Home Depot and you see the same people over and over and over again, strike up conversations with them. I know a guy that works at Lowe's and he probably has 15, 18 houses and he works every day at Lowe's. I don't understand why, but I guess he just enjoys it. But he's another investor, and every time I go in there, we're talking. I ask him how his properties are doing, what he's getting into, and he hasn't lent to me yet, and I haven't bought any properties from him or sold him any, but the likelihood of that happening is actually pretty high because he knows. So don't discount your everyday interactions with people. Discount that, then you're missing opportunities, and you're missing giving them opportunities as well.
I love it. It all goes back to relationships. So I love it, man. William, man, this has been fantastic. It's so amazing to help our audience just get those moments and just giving them something to break through that next level. I think we've accomplished that with this episode.
I hope so.
And so, yeah. And so, hey, if you all want to reach out with us, you can follow us on social media for more. And we will definitely see you all on the next episode.
Sounds great. Everybody have a great one.